This week on the big show, actor Anthony Ramos will join us to discuss his roles in both Monsters and Men and A Star Is Born. Plus, we'll have entertainment news and reviews of the latest films, including The Hate U Give, Night School, and Smallfoot, all on the latest episode of Keeping It Real with Film Gordon. Let's go. Welcome to the big show. This is Keeping It Real with Film Gordon. I'm not Tim Gordon this week. I am Charles Kirkland sitting in the big chair for the big man who happens to be in Cincinnati this week doing his own thing. So I'm happy to fill in his place and doing this the big show here on DC Radio. So today we're going to be discussing some of the big entertainment news of the day, including doing a few movie reviews. I got three of them. I'm ready to go. I got a guest with me who's here. His name is Wilson Morales from blackfilm.com, and he's calling in, and he's going to give us some entertainment news. Wilson, are you there?
I'm here. It's good to be on.
I'm glad to have you, brother. It's a wonderful time when you can come in and share the news of the day with us. So what do you have for us today?
As you know, we're entering that fourth season at the end of the month when we're starting to get a lot of quality films that's going to be talked about, you know, for fall releases, Oscar consideration. In the meantime, we have Night School coming out this week. Obviously, you'll probably talk about it. Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish, both coming off of successful films like Jumanji and Girls Trip, so hopefully that will do well in the theaters and propel Malcolm to get his second $100 million film if it does well. And you're going to be hearing Anthony Ramos earlier. You know, he's one of the rising stars we have in the, I guess, people of color community, if you want to say it like that. But he's also a good actor. But Malcolm, on the heels of Night School coming out, has set aside a new film coming out. I guess he's going to start shooting it at some point, called Real Talk, which is what they're describing as an homage to hip-hop music. So that should be an interesting take. We don't have any more details, but Malcolm's involved with the writing, so whenever he writes a script, it tends to do well, like The Best Man.
All right. So going into this, I mean, you talked about this time of year being the Oscar season coming out, and I just got to see The Hate U Give. You've been talking about it. Have you seen anything, or you want to talk about anything that's coming out and that may be a surprise or something that we need to see or anything along those lines?
Well, you know, like, when you're always going to be surprised what some of these movies are out. You know, another movie that's coming out this weekend is called Smallfoot, animated film featuring the voices of Zendaya, Common, including LeBron James. I guess, you know, he's starting to do a little bit more in the film business. So that's a good thing to bring kids out for. This is that time frame when you're starting to see quality films and people are going to come out. You know, you're not going to see so much action films unless, you know, they're going to be guaranteed blockbusters like the upcoming Halloween, which brings back Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right, right.
But, you know, Urban World Film Festival just ended the last weekend, and they had a good, successful year. Once again, it's the 22nd year I was there. I saw the audience that come in, and they loved Widows, which is going to come out in November. That's Steve McQueen's new movie starring Viola Davis and Cynthia Erivo. And then you're going to talk about it. I've been talking about it. The Hate U Give, a sort of Black Lives Matter movie that stars Amanda Stenberg, as well as Regina Hall and Russell Hornsby and Issa Rae, her first film basically first film now that she's had Insecure be successful.
Right.
I don't know if she did anything before that you didn't know who she was, but this is her first film where people would know who she is.
Right, right. And it was certainly a surprise because I did not know that she was in the film. And then as I sit in the screener and she appears on the screen and everyone in the audience kind of gives this like, oh my gosh, moment. So it was really good to see her in that film.
Yeah, and granted, it's coming out next week in the limited theaters before it blows into nationwide on October 19th, but it's good to see her in a strong, supporting, serious role. You know,
yes.
Obviously she's a comedian, and Insecure is much more of a dramedy. But you know, here she's, you know, no, there's no funniness with her character.
No,
you know, there's no comedy and there's no laughter. So that's good to see her show that sort of range. And like I said, you know, we're getting a crop of new actors on the scene. You know, the New York Film Festival will start beginning this Friday, and one of the films that's going to be appearing at the festival is If Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's appropriate. It plays in New York. It's set in Harlem. It's based on the Jane Baldwin novel. It's going to have its premiere at the Apollo Theater. So that should be a site for people to come out to support. You know, it's not going to be in the regular theaters that's in downtown Manhattan.
Right, right. Hopefully, I will be able to get to see each other there. Are you going to go for the screening of that in Harlem?
Yeah. Sometimes you go just to kind of feel that vibe, and you know, everybody's
right.
going to want to be there. So, like, it's always a good atmosphere.
Okay. Now, a moment ago, you mentioned about LeBron James being in Smallfoot, and yesterday, well, in the last show, we had a discussion about he's combining with Coogler to do Space Jam 2. How do you feel about a Space Jam 2 with LeBron James as a star?
Well, you know, they've been talking about doing it for years. You know, if it wasn't going to be with Kobe or anybody else, obviously LeBron is the right person to do it. Whether or not it's going to be successful, who knows? You know, it's you know, Michael Jordan was hot at the time when he did it. LeBron is hot right now.
Right.
You know, Ryan Coogler getting behind it adds a lot more weight, meaning that, you know, Ryan's pretty much the hottest guy right now coming off of Black Panther.
Exactly, yeah.
So, like, when you say LeBron James is doing it, you're going to have your, okay, we'll see, and then you have your naysayer. But when you attach a golden hot name like Ryan Coogler to the ticket, it brings more eyes to it.
Exactly. And Tim is of the impression that it's going to be a success just based on off the fact that Coogler is involved. However, I'm of the opinion that, you know, even the great Ryan Coogler can have one down movie here and there somewhere in his career.
I always believe you're only as good as your last project. You know?
Exactly.
It's rare for somebody to keep going on. You know, you've had those actors like Tom Cruise and Will Smith had a number of successes before, you know, the light started dimming.
Right.
But they're still in the game. So, like, and it's early in Ryan's career, so we don't know yet. You know, it's too early to speculate how it's going to be. I'm sure there's going to be other voices added to it besides LeBron. You know, and it's CGI and everything else. So, you know, it's way too early. Sometimes you hear this talk and automatically, you know, we all want to jump to conversations and so forth. But I'm like, let's make it happen. LeBron still has to get through L.A.
Exactly. I mean, and we all know that that's the reason why he moved from Cleveland to L.A. in the first place, so that he can be involved in the movie culture out there. So we'll see how it goes for him. Maybe he'll be moving.
I wouldn't say he necessarily moved out there to be involved in movie culture. I just think, you know, greater L.A. and Cleveland are apples and oranges, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Okay.
You know, so, also,
we talked about Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan's just signed on to do the Tom Clancy movies, Rainbow Six and others. Wow. Do you have any notes or news about that?
Well, he's playing John Clark, which is a character most people are not familiar with. He's not playing Jack Ryan.
Right.
A whole different story. So John Clark, it's interesting because he's the only other, if you're a Tom Clancy fan and you read those novels, he's the only other name that's mostly known.
Mm-hmm.
In the film, I think it was played twice, one by Willem Dafoe in Clear and Present Danger, and then the other one was played by Lee Schreiber in the film that's The Sum of All Fears, starring Ben Affleck.
Right.
So, you know, having Michael play that role is good, you know, because it's a series, it's a set films, and it shows that Paramount is committed to making a series or a franchise film using him.
Right.
So, you know, so Michael at the age of, I think he's 33 or 34, I think 33, you know, he's blossoming, you know. He's got, you know, obviously Black Panther, he's got Creed 2 coming up, which they just released a new trailer.
Oh.
You know, that builds excitement, you know. So, you know, he's, I think, producing films using an inclusion clause in his films. So he's definitely making a name for himself behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. When you mentioned Michael B. Jordan and Creed 2, my producer in the other room just almost fainted because she had just seen the trailer for the second movie.
Yeah, you know, that's going to be an interesting, you know, it's November, it's bringing back a lot of familiar faces. You got the character Ivan Drago coming back, and I think that the premise is that Michael B. Jordan, that his son wants to challenge Michael B. Jordan's son. So another generation of Drago versus Creed, and we know how it happened in the first one.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. It's the new director, Stephen Caple Jr. So, you know, just like, I guess, Rocky won Best Picture and 2 was more of a commercial film, hopefully this is more than just a commercial film and we can start putting Michael in the Oscar races just as well.
Well, you know, in the conflict with Drago, Apollo was killed, right? So do you think we could maybe have Rocky get killed in Creed 2 and that we move on from there?
Probably not. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you would have killed him in the first time, I don't think Creed would have been successful.
Yeah, probably, you know? So.
So you need Stallone for all sorts of reasons.
I agree. Well, any last comments that you want to make about anything that's happening before we move on?
Well, no, you know, it's like besides films, you know, you have, oh, yeah, you know, if you haven't got a chance to see it, sometimes it's easy to kind of overlook the stuff that's on Netflix, but Sanaa Lathan is starring in Napoli Ever After, which is a film.
Yeah.
It's playing on Netflix. You know, some of these Netflix movies are either going to make theaters, like Roma, which is coming out, or they're, you know, they're meant for, I guess, the small screen in a way. But nevertheless, a film is still a film. And, you know, it's a romantic comedy starring Sanaa Lathan, where she, you know, to discover herself in love, she chops off her head completely and goes bald. So, you know, people have been watching it. They've been commenting on it. So, you know, if you're not going to go outside and you're going to be home and you're going to watch something on your phone or on a tablet or anywhere else, there's Napoli Ever After to look for.
All right, that sounds great. All right, so last comments. Can you tell us where we can find you, Wilson?
Well, you can always find me over at blackfilm.com, which is the same words you use for Instagram as well as Twitter and Facebook.
All right, thank you very much, Brother Ramos, for being on the show with me today and not Tim Gordon. I'm Charles Kirkland, and I appreciate you being here with us.
All right, until the next week.
All right, till next week. Well, thank you very much, and that will come back after a break. We'll be talking a little bit about some entertainment, some special entertainment news that's happening this week. So keep it here with Keeping It Real with Film Gordon on DC Radio 96.3 HD4. That's dcradio.gov. We'll be back.
A new world. It must be falling away. I must be sound and color.
Welcome back to the Big Show. This is Keeping It Real with Film Gordon on DC Radio 96.3 HD4, dcradio.gov. I'm Charles Kirkland, sitting in the big chair. I got the calm today. This is the takeover episode. Tim Gordon is out in Cincinnati doing his thing at the Over the Rhine Festival. And if you're in Cincinnati, you can check him out over there. But today, this is the takeover, like I said. And I do a show called the DC Film Life, and I'm bringing on a guest from that show that I used to do, the show with me. His name is Mike Bryant. He's over at iHeartRadio. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Man, it's been a while. How's things going over there on your side of the world?
Great, man. I'm having a great time here, enjoying my time.
All right. I hear you haven't had an opportunity to watch the trailer parks, so I'm not going to talk about Captain Marvel and that great Dark Phoenix trailer with you, but you definitely need to check them out. We can talk about that at another date. But the big news of this week is about inmate number NN7687, otherwise known as William Cosby, who back in February he was found guilty of sexual assault, and his conviction was handed down this week, and he is now an inmate in the Philadelphia correction system. And knowing that you're a guy from Philadelphia, I would love to talk to you about your reactions, how you feel about what's happening to Bill Cosby.
I think it's more of a shocking feeling to me, you know, what's going on with Bill Cosby. It's just I've never seen someone have such a huge fall from grace, especially him, who was so revered as a great comedian, a mentor, an educator. It's very interesting that we've gotten to this point now that Bill Cosby is going to jail. You know, we live in a world where that's happening at this point. And it makes you question a lot of things, because this is a guy that a lot of people refer to as a model citizen and just a great all-around human being. And it's just a crazy fall from grace when it comes to him.
It really is. And I think we mentioned when we were doing the show together that Bill Cosby was a mentor of mine, a guy that I used to follow and revere, both in comedy and acting and movies or whatever. And Tim Gordon has a ministry, I would say ministry, but a part of his work that he calls Uptown Saturday Night, where we do films. And of course, Uptown Saturday Night being one of the movies that he starred in earlier in his career. It's really bracing to see how far like you said, this guy has come from, where he's been, what he's done, what he's done for the community, and all of a sudden now he's been brought down so low as to be, I mean, and we've talked about OJ and other people who've had a fall from grace, but this seems to be more of a precipitous fall than anyone else that we've ever seen before, that from the highest of heights to this low that he's gotten to. And I'm not saying whether he deserves it, whether he's guilty or innocent, and I've discussed that in the past, but it is really, like you said, shocking to hear how a guy who's, like you said, attended Temple University and has a master's, there's been a spokesperson for Jell-O for 25 plus years, Grammy Awards, Emmy Awards, movies, I mean, Naval Academy, and everything that he's done, and now we get to see him. The joke last was that he was served Jell-O in the prison yesterday when he was in there for, and it's just weird and ironic and uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely is a very uncomfortable thing to see. He's been sentenced to 3 to 10 years, and they're saying that he could get out before that. But this is a man who's basically, I affectionately call it, the back nine of life, and he's going to spend a lot of time in our prison system. It's so astounding. It's so shocking. Every time I hear about it, every time I see him on the news, it's just very shocking. It's going to take a minute for me to really get used to it.
The worst part of it for me is knowing he's, like you said, he's got a 3 to 10 sentence that he's going to be doing in jail, and he's definitely got to do the 3, and he could end up doing 10. At 81 years old, there's no guarantee that he's going to even make it out of prison and what kind of legacy does that leave for the man if he dies in jail? I mean, OJ got an opportunity, he's been released now, he can somewhat rebuild his life. We even saw on TMZ where he was talking to the guys about how Cosby should behave in jail. He's getting an opportunity to rebuild himself. But we're looking at Cosby, if he dies in prison, there's no redemption for him after all of this is said and done, whether he deserves it or not. There will be no chance for that if he passes away. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. There is no redemption for him if he does pass away. And for some, they may say that he doesn't need it. And I'm sure that's their opinion about a lot of things, but You're right. For a guy like him at his age, and if he passes away in jail, there is no redemption for him. There is no way for him to really make up for, if there is a way for him to make up for what he's done. He doesn't even get an opportunity, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He doesn't even get the opportunity.
So what does that, I mean, so what does that mean for his career? I mean, you've got the Bill Cosby show that he did in the 60s. You got I Spy. You got the Fatter Albert and the Cosby Kids. You got, of course, everyone knows the Cosby show that ran on NBC for a long time. What does it say toward his legacy? I mean, I know that the Walk of Fame said they're going to keep his star still out there even after he goes to jail. Even after he's gone to jail, it's going to stay. But the question is, will people play the show anymore? Will people watch the show anymore? Does it taint the legacy of everything else that he's done?
That's such a tough question to really ask. Because you look back, you know, the things that he has done, he's done a lot of good things. And some will say probably that a lot of things that he's done has was to cover up the things that he may or may have he's done badly. I don't know. I wasn't there, and so I'm not. It's not my job to judge the man. But it what sucks is that this is what's going to happen. Like this is what people are going to remember him for. This is what people are going to talk about, and it seems like when that happens, all the good that he has done will basically be undone.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be extremely difficult for people to remember him in such a good light, like with all the stuff that's gone down. So this is, I mean, it's a great question. And I think that the society we live in today will judge him extremely harshly, and I think that his legacy will be forever tainted.
Yeah,
and that's unfortunate because he was such a beacon of hope for the African American community, and it's difficult now to justify the good because of the things that he's accused of.
Well, I know the one equalizer in this is always, and I hate to be morbid about it, but it would be his passing, I think, in that just like, and a lot of people don't remember that Michael Jackson was accused of child molestation and all those things, and now that he's passed on, everyone just remembers him as the king of pop, and the legacy becomes his work. And this may be the only redemption that remains for Bill Cosby, is that even after, you know, if he does survive and is released from jail, he's not going to do anything as far as movies or his career. It may only be his passing in which that will be released and let go, and he may be able to be remembered for the work that he has left behind, the things, the positive things that he's left behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I unfortunately have to agree with you that the only way that he may get some justification for the good things that he has done is if he was to pass. And it really is a morbid way to think about it, but it also makes a lot of sense.
It does. It does. And like I said, it's unfortunate that we have to think along those lines. But that's pretty much what it may have to take for it to happen, for there to be any healing on the line of Cosby. I don't know if you have the finger on the pulse of Philadelphia, but has there been any response or any statements or comments or things that you know of that people are saying in that city?
Not that I know of. Like I don't think anybody's really like talking about it.
It's kind of like everyone's in shock and they don't know what to say. And then whenever someone does say something, it comes out kind of inappropriate. Like I forgot what the one comedian who said that Cosby needs to die. And it's just like you said, and when we started, that it's really shocking and really hard to to grasp.
It really is, for sure.
I'm Charles Kirkland. You're on Film Gordon, the Keeping It Real with Film Gordon on 96.3 HD4 DCRadio.gov. I'm talking with Michael Bryant about the big controversy surrounding Bill Cosby and his legacy. Moving on, though, I want the other legacy part of this may be the actions that come afterwards. Now that Cosby has been found guilty and sentenced to jail, does this open the floodgates for all these other people who have been accused, like Weinstein? And we got hearings going on Kavanaugh going on right now. Do you think that this decision, that this incarceration, may just let it all go for Hollywood, and that they may go ahead and the Me Too movement will take over and wipe the slate clean?
Again, another good question. And I think that, in my opinion, I think this does set a precedent.
Yeah.
I believe that it sets a precedent for people who have been accused, who have done these terrible crimes, that you're not safe. That just because you are highly regarded, make a lot of money, have good lawyers,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that you are above the judicial system, and that you should definitely be aware,
right.
Because this really is a huge deal. It does set a precedent with Cosby going to being sentenced and now going to jail, and people like Harvey Weinstein should be very wary about
mm-hmm.
moving forward.
Absolutely.
At this point, like it means that you're not just going to use your celebrity to get out of something. And I'm not saying Cosby tried to. I'm just saying that he is no longer safe. It brings you down a couple of pegs.
Yeah.
It brings you down to this, put this in quotes, but normal way of life where everyone's accountable for their actions. And so I think this is going to really open the floodgates. I think so. I think it really is going to go, well, if Cosby can go to jail and be convicted, so can you. You are not above this. And he was America's sweetheart. He was America's dad. So if America's dad can go to jail,
mm-hmm.
what does that say for anybody else who is accused and goes to trial?
Well, I hope that's true. And you know, there's always the racial impact of these things and how they can, you know, this is a black man ultimately that's been sentenced and gone to jail. So hopefully the precedent is set not just because he's a black man, but because he is that entertainer who has that status, and that everyone of that status will be judged the same. And it's not just happening for someone who is a man of color, you know?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, let's hope that that remains, for a lack of a better term, as pure as it can be without it becoming something like that. Because the goal is to get justice for the people who were wrong. That's the point. It doesn't matter what race you are, what ethnicity you are. That's what matters. Is getting justice for those people.
Okay. All right. Now, just to lighten up the tone a little bit, I'm going to ask you another question, because
okay.
we can go down that rabbit hole for a long way. I was just on the phone with Wilson Morales from blackfilm.com, and I asked him what he thought of Ryan Coogler and LeBron James getting together on Space Jam 2, which just was reported last week. I know you're a big Coogler fan. I don't know how you feel about LeBron James, but how do you feel about LeBron James trying to take on the Space Jam franchise?
I which is funny, because I was just talking to a buddy of mine about this. I believe that if anybody could do it,
mm-hmm.
it's Ryan Coogler. Just based off the things that he did with Creed, and because essentially people believe that this whole Rocky series was done.
Yeah, yeah.
Based off the last Rocky, it didn't do so well. So But then you bring in Creed, which is a twist on what it is, you know, the original story. It goes a different direction. It focuses on not Rocky, but it focuses on Apollo Creed's son. And I believe the one guy that probably could pull this off is Ryan Coogler. And but it could also fail miserably. This is also like and the thing is Ryan Coogler's on a hot streak.
Yes, he is.
He is probably, I think someone said that he is probably one of the most successful young directors who was able to basically produce hits in his first, what, three or four films?
Something
like that. Like, he's very successful. And so he's on a hot streak. And sometimes that hot streak doesn't last forever. So it would be terrible if this is the movie that his hot streak ends on. But I also have faith in him. I think he's a very smart guy. I think he's also very respectful of the history of movies and what they mean to people and the nostalgia that goes along with movies. And I think if he can pull this off, I think he's going to be one of the best ones out there, because he is going to be that go-to guy who can respect these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
These properties.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be very, very interesting.
Okay. All right. So you're another one of those people who are in the corner of Ryan Coogler versus whether it's LeBron James, but you're putting your chips in on the Coogler side of that equation, not the LeBron James side, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, as we get towards the end of this segment, tell us where we can hear you, Michael. Tell us what's going on in your life, where we can find you, what we can do to hear your voice.
Yeah. Well, I'm on 98.7 WMZQ Sunday nights from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. I also have a podcast called The Mike and Eric Experience, which you can find on the iHeartRadio app. And that's pretty much it. That's what keeps me pretty busy. But those are the things that I'm currently on. You can hear me on. I'm working on.
All right, and I have to say, the Mike and Eric Experience is a laugh riot. If you guys, if you ever get a chance to check it out, check that one out as well. So I appreciate you, big man. I'm glad you could get in on the show with me. And it's like homecoming, the Film Life homecoming, right here on DC Radio.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Anytime
I can help, I'm here for you.
I appreciate it, brother. That's my brother from another mother. That's Michael Bryant, who was my co-producer on the DC Film Life, and now he is running the Mike and Eric Experience, and you can hear him on iHeartRadio on WMZQ Sunday nights from 10 to 12. I thank him for being here with me and helping me out in this spot where I'm taking over Tim Gordon's show. You are listening to Keeping It Real with Film Gordon on DC Radio 96.3 HD4, dcradio.gov. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Kevin Wilmot, director of CSA, Confederate States of America, and you're listening to The Big Show, Keeping It Real with Film Gordon on Film Gordon Radio.
Back to life, back to reality, back to life, back to reality.
Back to the show. I'm Charles Kirkland, sitting in the chair for Tim Gordon, doing the Keeping It Real with Film Gordon broadcast here on dcradio.gov. Our next guest has been a force of nature for the past 2 years, from his work in the groundbreaking play Hamilton to reprising Mars Blackman in the Netflix series She's Gotta Have It. Anthony Ramos is red hot. Over the next 2 weeks, he'll appear in both the indie favorite Monsters and Men and this year's early Oscar favorite A Star Is Born. He sat down with show correspondent Wilson Morales earlier this month at the Toronto Film Festival to discuss his upcoming projects. Listen to this.
This project came, I put myself on tape probably in February and came back around in like April. And they were like, yeah, you know, they want to see you for this role again. And I was like, wow, damn. You know, I saw the names on the marquee. You know, you get that breakdown and it's like Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. And the role, I mean, it just goes on and on. And I was like, I'll never get this part. But here we are, yeah. Toronto Film Festival, 3 auditions later, you know.
How would you best describe your character?
He's her best friend, man. He's that real person in her life that supports her till the end, you know, whether she's singing in the living room or singing in the stadium. Like, he's that guy that tells her he loves her when she's going through, you know, in the good and the bad. You know, he's there for her 100% and supports her to the fullest and just wants to see her win no matter what. So, In a way, you know, Ramon, besides her dad, you know, you feel like he's kind of like that, secret kind of backbone for her that kind of just like he gives her that little nudge whenever she needs it, you know. And then we see Bradley and Allie's relationship unfold, and then we see Bradley become that for her, but Ramon always still being that constant, you know, that constant real one in her life, you know.
You've got a musical background. How is it that they did not find that aspect for you?
Well, you know, I had written a few songs, and I came into the movie. I was one of the last cast members to be cast, you know. So, and Brad didn't even know I was writing songs until someone
told him. You were Hamilton, though, right?
He did, you know. And he wanted me to sing in the film. There was a moment where I possibly was going to sing. I sent him a few songs. He picked one. We tried it in the scene, but the story, you know, like Bradley said, the story is always the master, you know, when it comes to making anything, man. And he just, you know, the song didn't really fit with the story as much as it did when we filmed it, you know.
Now, most of your scenes with Gaga, talking about that chemistry, getting to know her during the film and even now, you know, is there a friendship or is it just work?
Yeah, I mean, my relationship, you know, Stephanie's dope. You know, we've only really worked together and hung out on set, but every time we've gotten to spend time with one another, it's been amazing, man. It's been so dope, and it's really been special. And every little moment we get, you know, when there's so many people around and all the time, you know, any nuggets you get, any moments of just. Me and her, you know, I really cherish still, and it's dope now being on this journey together with this movie and we're all getting to know each other. It was so fast and furious. This movie.
This is gonna go to the dance.
You know,
this is going to the big dance. We'll say it early now without breaking it down.
Yeah, we bring them out to Gazi. Yeah.
Now you also have another, you know, the sun is shining right now. You also have Monsters and Men. You know, you're one of the leading actors along with John David and Kelvin. Talking about doing that role for Ronaldo.
Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. You know, that was a complete opposite experience from this. You know, that was a small indie, and we shot that in New York. I did probably 7 days on that movie because I was shooting Godzilla in Atlanta at the same time, and it was a blessing, man, to come to set. And when you're shooting a movie like that, being able to be with the director and the DP, Pat Scully, and I'm involved in the conversations as far as what the shots are going to be and maybe how we should, you know, set this up or, you know, maybe we should try this, we should try that. I mean, it was so collaborative, dude. And I'm from Brooklyn, and that's a Brooklyn story.
Did you watch the Eric Garner tape before or after?
I did. I watched it before. You know, I had seen it already, it's something. I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, that cops are getting away with stuff like that. That just people can get away with doing that and getting caught on tape and then not reprimanded. You know, I think it's tough to swallow, but to be a part of a film that gives so many perspectives, we also get to see the perspective of a cop, mm-hmm. which I have many cops in my family, and I've had many of these conversations with them. So to see it on screen, which I've never seen before, was something that was truly special to me and is special to me. And I think it's going to be something that is unique from any other movie that has ever been made about this particular topic. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be a piece of...
And, you know, story. I don't know if you want to go on record. We'll decide. No. Talk to me about working with Jasmine on the same page.
working with Jasmine, being able to, you know, work with my other half, that's a dream. You know, we worked together in Hamilton, and that's how we met. We've been together for 3.5 years now, you know, and it's been amazing. And, you know, and then now, fast forward, you're working with your girl on this film, and you know, we're in this apartment, and I see her come out of the room after she changed into a costume for the first time with this pregnant belly, and you know, like, we ain't got a kid yet, you know, but there was this kind of level of excitement and like nervousness and joy that came over me to see her come out. And it was funny, like, you know, in the fitting, I would like feel on her belly, and like, there's no baby in there obviously, but it was just so dope to... It was so dope to, like, pretend, you know, pretend to live this life that we're not living, but, you know, God willing, we hope to live together later on.
And then She's Gotta Have It, season 2. What are we expecting from your characters here? It's a whole new page now.
It's a whole new page. We got a lot of good surprises. We traveled this year, which is amazing. We went to Martha's Vineyard, and we went to Puerto Rico, so... the Puerto Rico episode, in my personal opinion, is my 100% favorite. I've been working with an organization that's been doing a lot of work after the hurricane out there, and Spike knew about it, and Lemon Anderson, who one of our writers on the show, introduced me. He was the one that made the introduction with the Maria Fund, and we were able to incorporate some incredible and meaningful stuff into the show this season that I'm incredibly proud of and excited for the people to see, man. I saw some clips in ADR, man, and I'm super hyped, bro.
Special thanks go out to Anthony Ramos for sharing his thoughts. Monsters and Men opens this week, while you can see him in A Star Is Born next week. That's two big movies in 2 weeks in a row. Way to go, Anthony Ramos. We'll take a big break right now and come back with our final segment, where I'll be reviewing a couple movies, 3 movies to be exact. We'll take a break right now and come back with our final segment. You're listening to The Big Show, Keeping It Real with Film Gordon on DC Radio 96.3 HD4. That's dcradio.gov. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, and this week's reviews are brought to you by thefilmgordon.com. Experience film through the eyes of a true film addict. Check out all of our film content at thefilmgordon.com. There are a number of new films opening in theaters this week, but before we begin, cue the music. We'll be right back. We start with one of the favorite Sundance films finally seeing the light of day this week. And first up is a movie called Smallfoot. Smallfoot follows a group of Yeti who come across a human, with each species thinking the other was just a myth. Co-written and directed by Carrie Kirkpatrick, with co-direction by Jason Rasig, the story is based on the book Yeti Tracks by Sergio Pablos and features the voice work of Channing Tatum, James Corden, Zendaya, Common, LeBron James, Gina Rodriguez, Danny DeVito, Yara Shahidi, Eli Henry, and Jimmy Tatro. Here is a short clip from Smallfoot.
There should be enough rope.
Should be.
We don't know exactly how far down it is. It's also all the rope we have.
Okay, if we're gonna do this, we gotta do it fast. Gwangi, tell him the plan.
Oh boy.
Listen up. Pull once to go lower, twice to stay put, three times to come up. Four pulls means you've reached the bottom, and it's safe for us to come down.
Wait, what was the second one?
Look, it doesn't really matter.
Your safe word is mystical creature.
That's more of a phrase, really?
Miss you, you out here?
Thor!
Uh-oh.
Oh no!
All right, Smallfoot is a clever and entertaining animated feature that focuses upon Channing Tatum's character Mego, a Yeti, which is the snowbound version of Bigfoot, who one day discovers a human, a mythical creature known to the Yeti as a Smallfoot, after a plane crashes on the mountain where he lives. When Mego goes to get other Yeti to see the creature he's found, the plane and its pilot have disappeared, falling down the mountain. Fueled by his desire for the truth, he's banished from his community by Stonekeeper, played by Common. Mego joins the SES, the Smallfoot Evidentiary Society, to prove Smallfoot's existence. On an excursion down that mountain, Mego hilariously encounters Percy, played by James Corden, voiced by James Corden, the host of a Wild Kingdom-like TV show, who ironically has just decided to fake the discovery of his own Yeti. It's their relationship that fuels the rest of the movie. Zendaya plays Mego's love interest, Michi, the brains of the SES, and LeBron James is incredibly funny as the conspiracy-loving SES member, Gwangi. Ultimately, Smallfoot is a cute and funny animated twist on evolution theory, with some really interesting songs, including an impressive send-up of Queen's Under Pressure called Percy's Pressure. The songs were co-written and directed by Carrie Kirkpatrick and her brother Wayne, who also wrote the music for the acclaimed Broadway musical Something Rotten. For the kids, a song by One Direction's Niall Horan, and for the adults, there's the often used Journey rock anthem Don't Stop Believin' that make an appearance in the movie. And Smallfoot is a great movie, although it comes late in the season, and it's a family comedy that parents will like and children will love. So look for Halloween costumes, of course, and Christmas stuffed toys from this movie. Rated PG for some action, rude humor, and mature thematic elements. Smallfoot should leave a big imprint in the box office this week. I gave it a C+. Not bad. Next up is the other big movie from the weekend, Night School. Night School follows Teddy, who's played by Kevin Hart, whose world has come crumbling down after blowing up the barbecue store where he works as a salesman. Practically, he was the salesman of the month forever. Now unemployed, Teddy must make a living to support his brand new fiance, Lisa. In order to do so, Teddy must get his GED and go back to high school to get the living that he wanted for his girlfriend Lisa. In this clip, Carrie, played by Tiffany Haddish, has a heart-to-heart conversation with Teddy.
My suspicions were right, and you, my friend, are dyslexic. That's what I got.
I knew it. Now that you say it, it makes sense.
You also have a processing disorder.
I got a touch of prostate cancer. She didn't touch my ass one time.
I said processing disorder.
I'm not processing it. I didn't process none of this.
You are just one big, beautiful mixed drink of learning disabilities.
Okay. So how do we fix it? Let's talk solution.
Well, there's no cure for what you have.
Oh, my God. I got learning herpes?
There is no such thing as learning herpes.
I'm blistering up. It's because I'm trying to think.
All right. Written by and directed by Kevin Hart and five other people, Night School is a story of Teddy, a con artist-like high school dropout who is forced to realize that education is truly the way to success. He decides to attend night school at his old high school, as a matter of fact, that he dropped out of during a SAT test. Unfortunately, his high school rival, Stuart, SNL alum Taron Killam, is the principal, and Teddy has to further swallow his pride to enter the class. Upon arriving in the school, Teddy meets Carrie, again, that's Tiffany Haddish, who with Teddy had a verbal altercation earlier at a streetlight. Carrie soon realizes what she's dealing with in Teddy and has to resort to some innovative tactics to get Teddy and the rest of the class to succeed. In her She Ready comedy special, comedy superstar Haddish told a story of how comic genius Kevin Hart helped her when she was living in her car. Director Malcolm D. Lee helped put Tiffany Haddish on the map with her scene-stealing performances in the raunchy hit Girls Trip from last year that also starred Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett, and Regina Hall. With all that pedigree going into this movie, unfortunately, Night School is not a help for Haddish, where Girls Night and Kevin Hart's best comedy work were the R-rated things that were done. Night School seems to have traded its edge for the PG-13 rating that it has received. Haddish and Hart are funny. Their chemistry is extraordinarily good. But unlike the scenes where Carrie is using her MMA motivation on Teddy, the movie feels like it's taken off its gloves and is pulling its punches. The comedic performance of Romany Malco, Rob Riggle, Taron Killam, and Mary Lynn Ratzkub are all thrown into the movie and often wasted, except for one scene where the night school class embarks on a test-stealing mission. Maybe it's too much. Maybe it's a situation of too many cooks spoiling the pot. Kevin Hart, who's written numerous comedy specials and is embarking on his first feature film writing career, he enlists the assistance of five other writers in doing this movie. And somehow, the movie seems to suffer from a lack of decent writing and probably some overthinking. The real shame is that when you put two comedic superstars like Hart and Haddish together, you expect bombs. But in this case, we only get firecrackers. Fart jokes and silliness abound in the movie, but it's not enough to make the movie funny enough to be anything more than just adequate. Rated PG-13 for crude and sexual content throughout, language and drug references and violence, Night School is a likable movie that could have been a college course lesson in comedy gold, but it's just a funny story about it getting a GED. I gave it a grade C. I was really disappointed. I wanted so much more from this film. I mean, we're talking about Hart and Haddish here. It should have been excellent, but it was just okay. All right, finally is a movie that premiered at Sundance, and I'm glad to talk about it because it really doesn't come out until next week when Tim will be back. So I'm honored that I'm getting the opportunity to speak about it now, and that movie is called The Hate U Give. The Hate U Give follows star Carter, who is constantly switching between two worlds, the poor, mostly black neighborhood where she lives and the rich, mostly white prep school where she attends. The uneasy balance between these worlds is shattered when Star witnesses the fatal shooting of her childhood best friend, Khalil, at the hands of a white police officer. Now facing pressures from all sides of the community, Star must find her voice and stand up for what's right. In this clip, Star and her dad, Maverick, break down the meaning of thug life.
Trying to make some sense out of it.
It's thug life. the hate you give little infants.
F's everybody. I know what it stands for. What do you think it means?
I think it's about us.
Us who?
Black people. Poor people, everybody at the bottom.
Right, you want it? Pac was trying to school us on how the system's designed against us. Why else you think so many people in our neighborhood deal?
They need the money.
Yeah. And they no real jobs around here. So they fall into the trap.
Based upon the Angie Thomas novel of the same name, The Hate U Give is a powerful film that is full of insight into the life of teenagers and social commentary about all that too familiar reoccurring event of a white police officer shooting, in this case, an unarmed black man. George Tillman Jr. turns in his strongest directorial effort since Soul Food and Men of Honor as he gently coaxes the story through several events and confrontations towards its shocking finale. Tillman creates an emotional roller coaster that takes viewers through both extreme joy and intense pain on a series of highs and lows and twists and turns that will leave the audience physically and emotionally drained by the time the credits roll. Up-and-coming force of nature, Amanda Stenberg, you remember from Everything, Everything and The Darkest Minds, is at her best in this film, exhibiting an incredible range of emotions that is almost inconceivable for any actress, much less a 19-year-old woman. Stenberg's straightforward and sometimes humorous narration intentionally gives way to her bold and powerful screen work, almost in tandem with the growth of star from her quiet and introspective girl to her courageous and outspoken woman by the end of the movie. While the movie is mainly the voice of star and her outrage, Hate allows us to glimpse the jarring viewpoints of the world around her. The voice of star's friend, Haley, played by Sabrina Carpenter, echoes a familiar and scary sentiment of many Americans on the fringes of this controversy, who view these tragedies through a jaded and possibly racist lens. Star's policeman Uncle Carlos, played by Common, relates the third and possibly most terrifying reality of the situation. Russell Hornsby and Regina Hall, Star's parents, who both ground and motivate her while they struggle to protect her from the machinations of Issa Rae and Anthony Mackie. The movie was well-deserved. Darling, coming out of Sundance, I expect both Stenberg and Tillman to receive Oscar nominations and considerations. Rated PG-13 for thematic elements, violent content, drug material. The Hate U Give is the one young adult drama that has basis in reality that makes it much more relevant and meaningful than everything that has come before. I gave it a grade A. All right, so The Hate U Give comes to theaters in limited release next week. That's October the 5th, and wide release on October 19th. All right, and that's it for my reviews. That's it for the show. I'm thankful that you guys joined in this week. On behalf of our producer, Jessica Sturgis, I say in closing, please see something good at the movies this week. You got a couple movies out there that are okay, but there's something out there. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on the other side.
False confidence and calculated promises all in your conversations. I hate people that feel entitled. Look at me crazy, cause I ain't invite you. Oh, you important, you the moral to the story. You endorsing motherfucker.